From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Well, one of the challenges that I faced was that I did not have my father. After my father died when I was 8 years old, it was very difficult for my siblings and I. My mom, she tried her best, but she did not have the tools and to assist us because she wasn't an advocate of education. So she's from the South, and so she really did not believe in education. But she always used to say, if you want to get an education, go and get it. But she just did not believe in education. So I took it upon myself to get educated myself. I just wanted to do something outside of the box. And what I accomplished in my life was great, to become the first out of 21 natural children to graduate from college with a bachelor's degree in business administration from Upper Iowa University. And Upper Iowa University has a great staff, and they have been good to me.
Paul Lamar Hunter, author of No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child, published by Life to Legacy, LLC. As the 19th child of 21, all born within 21 years, his troubled life crossed the perils of poverty, neglect, dysfunction, and even death. Hunter described what it was like growing up in the shadow of a famous yet detached mother whose affection was focused on the homeless shelter that she founded and not on her own children. Though the shelter was supposed to be a haven for the downtrodden, it was actually the breeding ground for dysfunction and despondency. Despite Hunter's misfortune and failures, his determined spirit and his indelible faith lifted him up above the fray to become the first in his family to graduate from college. Now, moving full speed ahead, he is living proof that neither limits nor lineage determine the quality of one life, but faith, fortitude, and determination does. I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child, with author Paul Lamar Hunter, In Black America.
I came from the inner city, and most inner city kids believe that there's no way out. You just remain there. No, there is a way out. What you have to do is constantly work at it. Go back to school, get educated, be with positive men and women. There is a way out. Look where I came from. I came from the inner city. People back home never thought that I was going to graduate from college, write a book. Now my story is in Ebony Magazine. And also there's a screenplay completed, and producers out in Hollywood are interested in developing my story into a feature film. So it's important to inform people, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
As a boy growing up, failure was not an option for Paul Lamar Hunter. Hunter is the 19th child of 21 brothers and sisters. He was born and raised into a family where he was statistically labeled to fail. Today he has overcome all adversity, from poverty to social stigma, to become the first and only one in his family to graduate from college with a BS degree in business administration from Upper Iowa University. As the author of his first literary offering, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child, Hunter credits his determined spirit and unshakable faith for lifting him above the fray to achieve this impressive accomplishment. Hunter grew up in a house where there was insufficient food, clothing, and money to take care of all their needs. There were times when his siblings not only shared clothes, but also shared toothbrushes. He experienced days when they were required to eat homemade biscuits for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They lived in a two-bedroom house until just before the 19th child was born. In spite of his complex childhood, he triumphed over adversity and turned his setback into a comeback.
I am the 19th child out of 21 natural children. There is 63 grandchildren and 61 great-grandchildren. I was born in Racine, Wisconsin. But let me say this, I am not a Packer fan.
Not a Packer fan?
No, I'm a 49ers fan.
Tell her, what was life like growing up in such a large household?
I tell you what, there was obstacles, there were debates, between siblings, and a little bit of rivalry on the basketball court, also on the football court, and also in the home. It was challenging in the home because when I was 8 years old, my father passed away. So my mom took the responsibility and tried to raise us.
And during that time, obviously your mom and dad must have really loved each other. They having 21 children.
I tell you what, they couldn't keep their hands off each other.
So what was life like getting up in the morning when you have so many people to get dressed to go to school?
Well, I have to say that my older siblings did a good job in assisting my mom, making sure that we get up in the morning and, you know, take a shower, eat, and also dress us for school.
What led you to this moment to write this particular book? Why did you believe this story needed to be told?
Well, my story is unique. It's a peculiar story of a young man coming from the inner city, did not have a chance to make it. And I had obstacles in front of me, but in spite of those obstacles, I decided to persevere. So it's a story of never giving up. And my story is a parenting story. In the book, I talk about being a parent myself. I talk about how it was in my family, the Hunter family. And I talk about my relationship with my mom and also with my dad and with my siblings. But it's a great book to have if you are a parent.
Tell us about some of the challenges you faced growing up.
Well, one of the challenges that I faced was that I did not have my father. After my father died when I was 8 years old, it was very difficult for my siblings and I. My mom, she tried her best, but she did not have the tools and to assist us because she wasn't an advocate of education. So she's from the South. And so she really did not believe in education, but she always used to say, if you want to get an education, go and get it. But she just did not believe in education. So I took it upon myself to get educated myself. I just wanted to do something outside of the box. And what I accomplished in my life was great, to become the first out of 21 natural children to graduate from college with a bachelor's degree in business administration from Upper Iowa University. And Upper Iowa University has a great staff, and they have been good to me.
You said your mom is from the South, so how did she get to Wisconsin?
She's from Vicksburg, Mississippi. And how she got to Wisconsin is that my father took a job at Case engine plant.
Okay.
And at that particular time, my father used to build motors mm-hmm. for the tractors for Case. That's how my family got to Racine, Wisconsin.
When you were contemplating on writing the book, what are some of the stories that you definitely wanted to tell? You talk about the challenges, but what other stories that you wanted to tell in this
One of the work? Particular stories that I wanted to talk about in the book, how I was raised with my mom and how I became a father and I was raising my children now. And I wanted to compare the different styles of parenting. My mother was a hard-nosed parent. I, on the other hand, was not that way. I was loving, I was caring to my children, and I was there with them. I had the opportunity to nurture them when they were small, to teach them academically, and also had a wonderful time of teaching my children basketball. And coaching them and winning a championship.
So how did you happen to get to Upper Iowa University?
A great opportunity presented to me. Okay. I was working at Chrysler engine plant in 2010. So we all received the pink slip that the plant was going to close. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of disappointed. But the good news was that Chrysler was going to pay for us to go back to school.
Oh, okay.
And so Chrysler paid Upper Iowa $21,000 a year. for me to go back to school. I took advantage of it.
And your major was what?
Business administration. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration from Upper Iowa University.
And why business administration?
I am a business person. I have a business personality. I think big, and I'm always thinking outside of the box. And I think that I have something to offer any potential employer.
And we want to go through some of the chapters in the book. Of course, we can't go through all of them. Tell us about your mom. I understand she started a homeless shelter.
Yes, my mom started one of the first homeless shelters in Racine, Wisconsin, which is called called Love and Charity Homeless Shelter. And her primary focus was assisting homeless people, but she did not assist her children at home.
And how did that affect you?
It affected my whole family in a tremendous way. A lot of my siblings have been beat up mentally, physically, and spiritually. Mm-hmm. And to this day, some of them had overcame it and some of them have not.
And that's all part of a mother's two faces?
The two faces of E, and it deals with her personality.
Okay, tell us about your mom. Other than having the homeless shelter.
She was born in Vicksburg, Mississippi. She worked on the farm. She did not have the opportunity to go to school just like I did. She was a product of her environment, but she did to me, I think that my mom did the best that she could of trying to raise us. And so what she thought was a norm was really the abnorm. Mm-hmm. So this story, even though it deals a little bit with my mom, but it's a forgiving story because I talk about that parents are not perfect. Parents will make mistakes. So whatever my mom did, I was able to forgive and go on with my life. I have a better relationship today with my mom.
You talk about parents, and of course you wrote about your unplanned parenthood. Tell us about that.
When I mean that unplanned, because I did not expect to have a child at the age of 23 years old. And today that child is 20 years old. And I love my daughter, all four of my kids. I love them to death. And they have been good to me and I have been good to them.
And tell us how you met their mom.
we were at a party, and I had my own house at that particular time, and she came over with some friends, and that's how we end up meeting. We had a conversation, we continued to talk, and we had stayed together for about 17 years.
Tell us about some of the joys of parenthood.
Oh, some of the joys is the first day that each of my kids was born, and I had the opportunity to hold them, the opportunity to watch them grow and to nurture them and to teach them how to read, how to write, how to communicate effectively, and how to be a big thinker.
If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And we're speaking with Paul Lamar Hunter, author of No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. Mr. Hunter, when you sat down and thought about writing this particular book, how long did it take you to get your thoughts in order?
Well, it took a while. It took about 3 months to get my thoughts in order and to start to brainstorm and put things on paper, but it took about 2.5 years for me to complete the manuscript.
And I understand you worked in PR for a while?
I did some public relation work myself personally. So it was a great opportunity that was presented to me from the publishing company. And I did an excellent job of reaching out to people and telling other people's story.
Tell us about the chapter, It All Started to Go Wrong.
That chapter is dealing with my father being in a car accident, pass away, my brother passing at a young age in a house fire. My relationship with the mother of my children just went sour. And it deals with a lot of, you know, difficult times in my life. And so I was able to connect and have a relationship with Jesus Christ that I really needed, and to surround myself with positive women and men that really helped me in a tremendous way.
Tell us about your brothers and sisters. What are they doing now?
Oh, wow. My brothers and sisters. I got some that's in St. Paul, Minnesota. They are working, and that's in Minnesota. They are working. I have a brother that's in Atlanta, Georgia. He's a photographer. I have a brother that's in Memphis, Tennessee. He's a pastor. Also, he has a substance abuse home where he assists people that is suffering from drugs and alcohol. Also, I have some siblings back home in Racine, Wisconsin that's doing the same thing. They are working and trying to better themselves.
When one grows up, and I'm speaking somewhat of myself and other African Americans, we have the necessities of life, but we don't look at our living conditions as being in poverty. When you were growing up, did you feel that you were in poverty, or you just have what you have?
No. When I was growing up, I looked at the situation that we don't have material things or possessions, if you want to call it that, at that particular time. But I knew in my heart that things was going to get better. And so in order for things to get better, you have to take it one day at a time. I never look at the situation and cry or moan or complain about it. It's a part of life. You have to accept it, but there's a way out. And that way out is that you have to have an action plan in place, and you have to work that action plan. And the most important thing is that when you have an action plan, you have to have assistance from positive women and men that are doing something that can assist you, that can build you up and take you to the next level.
Why is it important for you and for you to tell the story that it's not where you start, but it's where you're going and where you finish?
It's important because I came from the inner city, and most inner city kids believe that there's no way out. You just remain there. No, there is a way out. What you have to do is constantly work at it. Go back to school, get educated, be with positive men and women. There is a way out. Look where I came from. I came from the inner city. People back home never thought that I was going to graduate from college, write a book. Now my story is in Ebony Magazine. And also there's a screenplay completed, and producers out in Hollywood are interested in developing my story into a feature film. So it's important to inform people. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Tell us about that process of having the possibilities of having this book made into a feature film.
Well, the possibility came because screenwriter read about my story, read the book, and converted it into a screenplay. So I'm excited. Some producers out in Los Angeles, California, want to sell it and get it in the right people's hands and make things happen. So one day you might look up and see a movie called The 19th Child.
Tell us about the chapter when you talk about girls, bad examples, and the wrong reasons.
That chapter deals with me as a teenager. I did not have a mentor in my life when I was a teenager. So you listen to your older siblings, your older brothers, and they'll tell you to not be faithful to a woman, not to be committed, always be a player, sleep with so many women as you can, and it kind of ruined my life in a way, because as you get older, you don't want that. And when you have children, you want to live a life that they can look back and say, you know what? My dad might have made some mistakes. He wasn't perfect, but look at him now.
When you look back at your childhood, I know there were some painful periods, but what are some of the joyous times that you experienced in growing up with so many brothers and sisters? Because obviously you were never alone in any length of time unless you left the house.
I think interacting with my brothers and sisters, when we out there during the summertime, playing kickball, playing baseball, during the winter time, having a snowball fight, every Sunday, sitting at the table, watching my mom prepare a big meal. And my mom was a traditional mom. Every Sunday after church, it was that soul food, the pastor coming over, the pastor got to sit at the head of the table and he has to pray. You know, those were some good moments that I really cherish and I miss today.
So you all don't get a chance to gather as you all used to, big family reunions and what have you?
We had a family reunion for the first time in 3 years. And it was awesome because all the children came together and all the grandchildren came together for the first time.
When you look at the book in which you've written thus far, what has been the response?
The response has been great because a lot of people in America haven't heard my story and they are intrigued. You look at some of the publications, Austin Fit Magazine is profiling my story in October. Trendsetters for Trendsetters is profiling my story in October as well. Also, next month, I will be featured in AMPS magazine, African American People Succeeding. I will be on the front cover. So you'll see this pretty face on the front cover of AMPS magazine for September. Also, Milwaukee magazine is profiling my story also. So it's getting the attention now because once I sent out the press release, people are intrigued and they want to know, okay, 21 children. He's the only one to graduate from college and also write a book. So they just are intrigued and they want to sit and have a conversation. That's the reason why I'm here with you.
What has been the reaction from your brothers and sisters and your nieces and nephews?
At first, they did not like the book at all because some of the things that I had said, but as they read it again and again, they got an understanding and they got healed from reading the book. So it was a good thing because at first they thought it was bad, but it turned out good because it helped them in a way. And I have a lot of nieces today that took the initiative, nieces and nephews that took the initiative to go back to school. So, and I feel that I had a purpose and that purpose was to lay the foundation that education is important in the Hunter family.
So how therapeutic was the writing of the book for you?
Oh, it was great. it brought the best out of me. There were times when I thought that I did not have the talent, the gifts, and I have it. I have it. My confidence is up extremely high. I'm a great communicator. I learned to listen. I learned to be a better man, a better father to my children.
What would you tell a individual listening to this program? I mean, you talk about your struggles and how you succeeded against the odds, but obviously there must be an inner strength in you. Can you articulate that?
Yes. I think my inner strength comes from doing a lot of praying and a lot of meditation. Okay. And what's the Seattle Seahawk quarterback, Russell Wilson, after winning the Super Bowl, he remembered the words of his father, "Why not you?" And I feel that all the obstacles that I had been through in my life, I made it and I set a good example. Why not me?
When we look at some of the events that has transpired for the last couple of weeks in Ferguson, Missouri, what comes to mind from your childhood or what's going on as we have this interview today?
Well, the Ferguson incident is a interesting one. I think that it's challenging, and I hope that the facts come out. And if the facts comes out that the cop was wrong, I believe that the courts should prosecute him. and follow the law. I think that they should not riot at all, but they are trying to set an example that these people are hurting, disenfranchised, and when unemployment is extremely high and you don't have no hope and you out there, you trying to get a job, you trying to be the best person that you can, and there's no employment there for the people. A lot of people are upset, you know, they frustrated, they mad, and it's challenging out here in America. And I feel sorry for both parties, you know, that's involved in this incident. I think it should have played out in a different way.
Okay. Obviously, when you write a book, you can only put so much information in it. Are there certain things you left out?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Can you tell us some of those?
Well, the reason why I left them out is because I am in the process of
writing another book. And the focus of that book is going to be more elaborate than what you first written?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Do you have an opportunity to talk to your mom?
Yes. I call my mom on Saturdays and Monday, and we have a great relationship today. In the past, it was sour, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's better, a whole lot better. The communication lines are open. I tell my mom every time that I have the opportunity that I love her. You know, she's my mom, and she did the best that she can. So like I indicated earlier, parents are not perfect.
Obviously, she had an opportunity to read the book. Her reaction, because you were, you know, truthful, and you know, you bore your soul in the particular chapter in which you address her. So, what was her reaction from?
She was upset. She was disturbed by the fact that I had shared some detailed information.
She wasn't aware of how what she was doing to you all as a family versus what she thought she was doing good out there in the community. And
yes.
how that affected home.
It affected home. And now she realized that you got to have balance. Okay. And family is important, especially when you have little ones. Mm-hmm. And for example, when my kids was growing up, I did my 8 hours. I did not do no overtime.
Paul Lamar Hunter, author of No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny L. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.